This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. By Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. And by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
First of all, in our farm news today, the overnight crude oil market, $1.11 higher at $88.24. The Brent crude, 81 cents higher at $106.71. The December gold contract, $7.80 higher at $1,598.50, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.452 lower at 82.884. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat trading at $8.66, that's up a penny. December wheat trading at $8, that is up a half. September corn now trading at $7.89¾, that is down 4¼. December corn trading at $7.91¼, down 4½. August soybeans now trading at $16.47½, down 5½. September beans trading at $16.20¾, that is down 2¾. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at $8.65, down 14½. December wheat ended at $8.79½, down 14¼. March wheat ended at $8.84½, down 14¼. September corn ended at $7.94, down 6½. December corn ended at $7.95¾, down 4¾. March corn ended at $7.97½, down 1½. August soybeans yesterday ended at $16.53, down 29¼. September beans ended at $16.23½, down 15¼. November beans ended at $16.16½, down 12½. August soybean meal yesterday ended at $5.23.70, down $1.35. September meal ended at $5.05.90, down $0.65. October meal closed at $4.95.70, down $0.51. August soybean oil yesterday closed at $51.54, down $0.19. September oil ended at $51.79, down $0.18. October oil ended at $51.98, down $0.20. September oats yesterday ended at $3.71¾, up 3/4. December oats ended at $3.72½, up a half. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices ended lower on Thursday afternoon. Traders again took profits before the weekend and before the USDA's reports next week. Weekly export sales were above expectations for corn, as expected for wheat, and below expectations for soybeans. In northern and western Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 4 to 8 cents lower at $7.72 to $8, and soybeans traded 28 to 31 cents lower at $16.31 to $16.50. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 7 cents weaker at $7.93 to $8.14. Soybeans down 26 to 28 cents at $16.65 to $16.93. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 8 to 9 cents at $7.83 to $8.28. Soybeans fell 32 to 38 cents at $16.40 to $16.68. And the cash wheat bids lost 10 to 18 cents, ranged from 838 to 862. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents lower at 794 to 804. Soybeans dropped by 32 to 37 cents at 1650 to 1658. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery down 16 cents at 777 to 787. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 8 to 12 cents lower at 802 to 808. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 15 to 29 cents, ranging from 1686 to 1687. And the cash wheat bids down 13 cents on Thursday at 835 to 836. And the Milo ended 4 cents lower at 745 to 746. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from $7.62 to $7.78. New crop soybean bids at $15.81 to $15.90. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $7.70 to $8.08. New crop soybeans at $15.81 to $16.03. And in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from $7.79 to 808, new crop soybeans at $15.99 to $16.17, and new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, ranging from $7.57 to $8 even. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, August hogs closed at $91.60, down $1.60. October hogs ended at $78.22, down $1.50. And December hogs ended at $75.92, down $1.07. August cattle yesterday closed at $120, down a dollar. October cattle closed at $125.10, down $1.02. That's up $1.02. And December cattle ended at $127.70, up $0.45. August feeder cattle yesterday ended at $139.75, down $2. September feeders ended at $140.55, down $0.57. October feeders ended at 142.02, and that was down 35. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's Afternoon Livestock Report for Thursday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,355 head today. They traded 74 cents higher from $83.57 to $92 with a weighted average of $86.27. And in Illinois today, there were 7,950 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down $1.25 today at $92.78. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow Report, sows traded mostly steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 23 to 26, 4 to 5 weights from $24 to $28, and over 500 pounds from 25 to 30. Illinois direct bears and gilts traded steady again this morning from $54 to $60. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Thursday, hogs are at 405,000 on the day. That's up 10,000 from last week, but down 3,000 from last year. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's up 2,000 from last week, but down 3,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 150 fabricated loads and 54 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 46 pennies at $1.7815, while selects advanced 55 cents at $1.7138, leaving the choice select spread at $6.77. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 583 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 1 to 1.5 higher. Choice steers from $1.10 to $1.15, while selecting choice cattle were at $1.05 to $1.10. Choice Holsteins from $101.50 to $107, and choice heifers from $1.10 to $1.13.50, while selecting choice heifers were from $105 to $112.50. And at the Walnut Livestock Auction, the opening report for Thursday, they estimate 450 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading $2 higher, and Holstein steers were lightly tested. Choice steers from $1.12 to $1.17, while choice Holsteins were from $105 to $109.25, and choice heifers from $1.13.50 to $1.15.25. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Here are the spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday. Butter, $1.68, up 3.5. Block cheese, $1.70, unchanged. Barrel cheese, $1.67.5, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, $17.17. The report from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville not available on this Thursday morning. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
With the heat and drought of this summer, many lawns need to be overseeded to thicken back up. Give Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call. They prepare the soil by working and leveling before seeding a new lawn. They can choose from many different grass seed mixtures to fit your needs. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
And our local weather forecast for today, partly cloudy, hot and humid, high temperatures in the upper 90s. We will have southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 70s. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy, hot and humid, the high in the upper 90s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-60s, highs in the low 90s. Overnight, WSMI weather watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 0.2 inches of rain, 1.5 inches recorded by the Lang family of Caupine. 0.9 inches fell through the cobwebs in our gauge here at the Weather Center. Right now, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure rising, and our temperature 69 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you at this time by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Looking for new and pre-owned cars and trucks? You want Cruise Enterprises in Girard, Verdon, and Auburn. Want a top-class service department for your car or truck? You want Cruise Enterprises. With three convenient locations, Cruise Enterprises is ready for you and all your automotive needs. Cruise Enterprises, with locations in Girard, Verdon, and Auburn. Cruise Enterprises, for all your automotive needs.
And it's time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive. First of all, in our farm news today, Congressman Aaron Schock is hosting an agricultural summit next Tuesday at Lincoln College. He calls it an opportunity for ag interests to come together and discuss key issues facing the industry like drought conditions, flooding, and government regulations. Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma, will also be attending the event. Seating is limited, but you can reserve a space. Phone 309-671-7027. Private exporters reported to the United States Department of Agriculture export sales of 1,516,380 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico. Of the total, 982,980 ton is for delivery during the 2012-2013 marketing year. 533,400 ton is for delivery during the 2013-2014 marketing year. And the marketing year for corn will begin on September 1st. On Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink about the area's soybean crops.
Soybeans continues to be, an interesting topic. The soybean plants by and large, still have the capacity to produce a crop. Now, looking at the soybean plant, the lower half of the soybean plant probably will not be able to produce any pods. You look at the lower half of the soybean plant, and those nodes are pretty much calloused over, which means they probably do not have the ability to produce anything. But the upper half or the upper third of the plant, you know, there's still potential there, you know, if we get a rain to stimulate some growth, and if we continue to get rain to continue that the good growing conditions. I go to a field every week, and I was pleasantly surprised this week, a soybean field. I saw, you know, considerably more pods in these in this field than I had in previous weeks. Now, maybe it's just slow into getting into that R4 stage, and that's probably what happened, is that, you know, the hot, dry weather has delayed growth, and it's just very slow in getting to the R4 stage, which we're usually at, you know, here by the 1st of August. But I was pleasantly surprised when I saw, you know, an increased number in soybean pods this week compared to last week. And so we're trying to determine a soybean yield and, you know, trying to punch in some numbers there. And, you know, there's a formula that we can use. For example, you can take you can count pods per plant and then multiply that times the number of beans per pod, times the plants per acre, divided by the seeds per pound, and then divided by 60 pounds per bushel, and that will give you theoretically a yield per acre. And I just used as an example, 10 pods per plant times 2 beans per pod, and normally we use 2.5 beans per pod, so this year I dropped that back to 2 beans per pod, times 130,000 plants per acre, and this will vary by producer. Divided by 3,000 seeds per pound, again, normal conditions, about 2,800 seeds per pound, and maybe I'm still a little bit low with the 3,000 seeds per pound. Divided by 60 pounds per bushel, I came up with the yield of somewhere around 15 or 16 bushel per acre, which, you know, in theory, you know, if we have the 10 pods per plant and if the factors that I used are correct, you know, this might catch a lot of fields, 15 to 20 bushel per acre. So there's still some hope there for soybeans, and will continue to be for a couple of weeks. But obviously, each day, each week that goes by, that yield potential will decrease somewhat.
But that yield potential could increase if we simply get rain.
That's true, but we need it quickly. You know, there's always a chance of rain in some areas, and we need it very quickly because the top part of that plant, you know, as time goes on, those nodes at the top part of the plant also become calloused off if we don't get good growing conditions, and then their ability to produce pods will decrease as well.
One thing I've noticed in fields around here, I've noticed in the soybean leaves yellowing in certain parts of the field, and also in a strip in a field, it seems like they're yellowing. What is that?
There are two things that are happening out there. First of all, when you see just the general yellowing out there, that's a condition that we call yellow flash, and that's a problem from overlapping with a herbicide, a glyphosate herbicide or something. That's just called yellow flash. Shouldn't cause any problems. Now, one thing we are seeing out there in some of these fields, where we're actually seeing areas of dead plants. And I've sent some plants in, and what we have found out is that usually these areas are kind of the lighter soils, the more stressed areas, and these plants have died as a result of heat and dry weather, and now charcoal rot has set in. Well, I should say maybe they've been stressed with the heat and the drought, and now charcoal rot has set in. And, you know, that can be, you can tell charcoal rot by the small black pycnidia on the lower part of the stem, but the charcoal rot can show itself without those black pycnidia, which usually come in very late in the disease cycle. So this is what our pathologists are telling us, is extreme stress has occurred. Charcoal rot has set in, causing these dead areas in some of these fields.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We asked him about the soybean markets and if the Chinese will still be big purchasers of the crop.
Well, they are. They've booked a lot, but we've seen the export market, rather quiet, especially in the corn. I mean, we actually saw some negative numbers last week. Soybeans were actually a little bit better than anticipated, and we still see a lot of movement in the meal market, too. That demand is still out there. They're still going to need those, have those needs, and they're still going to come to the market to buy. Whether or not they cancel on some of those down the road, it's definitely possible. But we've seen a lot of South American hedging as well, and they're going to be able to get a lot of supply, but not a lot of supply from South America, but not until the spring months. But it's estimated that Brazil, just Brazil alone, it has sold about 41% of their new crop bushels that will be coming out next spring, and that's versus 9% on a 5-year average. So there's been a lot of hedge pressure that's already hit this market. That's part of the reason why the spreads, I think, have been acting so strong. You look out, March beans are only 15.20 versus these front months that are 16.50, August above 17. So they're still going to be in the marketplace. They're still going to have those physical needs, to get bought. And the question is, where do they come from? If we start to see a yield that could creep closer towards the 30 mark instead of 40 in beans, we definitely have a significant amount of rationing still to do.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Right now, we'll update the area livestock markets, first from the United Producers Market in Shelbyville, then from the Greenville Livestock Auction. And we'll have that a little bit later on this Friday. The United States Department of Agriculture's most recent weekly topsoil moisture condition report shows new records of short to very short conditions, with Illinois 100% in that category and Missouri at 99%. United States Department of Agriculture meteorologist Brady Rippey says Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma are at 96%, very short to short. He says that area marks the core area of the drought, but the drought is expanding west and south, lowering moisture in areas that had adequate moisture until now. Rippey says there's no end in sight for the remainder of the week for the hottest, driest areas. This week, however, there is a cool front expected across the northern plains and the upper Midwest.
Temperatures will at least stay at near normal levels in much of the upper Midwest, which would include Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. In terms of the rainfall outlook, this is a little bit more positive for some areas. It does look like we'll see above normal rainfall stretching from the upper Midwest into the mid-Atlantic states, and it does include much of the northern and eastern portions of the Corn Belt that have already seen some stabilization in crop conditions. The bad news is the farther south and west you go, the hotter and drier it's going to be. So we expect mostly dry conditions across the southwestern Corn Belt, the plains, and the northwest.
Unfortunately, Rippey says that won't reach into the core drought areas. In some other news, faced with seared grazing pastures, ranchers across the United States who can't afford to provide feed and water to steers and heifers are rushing to sell them. But the usual buyers' feedlots are scaling back as the price of corn used to fatten up the cattle is soaring across the Farm Belt. The combination of a glut of supplies and deteriorating demand drove prices of feeder cattle to the lowest level since September of 2011. The House passed the disaster aid bill 223 to 197 on Thursday. The bill would reauthorize livestock indemnity payments, livestock forage disaster programs, emergency assistance for livestock, honeybee, and farm-raised fish, and the tree assistance program. The disaster assistance is only authorized for 2012 and provides payments totaling $383 million. The bill is not likely to become law, however, because it provides less disaster assistance than the 5-year farm bill the Senate passed. On top of that, Congress leaves for their August recess today. The Senate Finance Committee has approved a bipartisan tax package that includes an extension of the now-expired biodiesel tax incentive. Ann Steckel, Vice President of Federal Affairs for the National Biodiesel Board, says the biodiesel tax incentive is a proven job creator. She notes growth in the biodiesel industry has been stagnant since the incentive expired on December 31st. Reinstating it, she says, will get biodiesel producers across the country back to expanding their businesses and hiring new employees. The measure also includes the producer tax credit for cellulosic biofuels and accelerated depreciation for cellulosic biorefineries, incentives due to expire at the end of the year. Advanced Ethanol Council Executive Director Brooke Coleman says the strong bipartisan vote sends a strong signal to the marketplace that Congress understands the urgent need to address these expiring credits and maintain stability in the marketplace for emerging industries. More than 150 members of the House have asked Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson to waive the renewable fuel standard for the rest of the year in order to help ease corn supply concerns and protect American consumers, livestock producers, and the economy. The request follows on the heels of a petition asking the agency to grant a waiver of the RFS in whole or in part for the rest of 2012 and part of 2013. The petition was filed by a coalition of livestock and poultry organizations, including the National Pork Producers Council. The NPPC praised the group of lawmakers led by Virginia's Bob Goodlatte, Steve Womack of Arkansas, and North Carolina's Mike McIntyre for requesting the waiver to help livestock and poultry producers weather the worst drought in more than 50 years. But Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen says calls to waive the renewable fuel standards are premature and void of justification. Officials from an Illinois Center for Rehabilitating Equines says humans aren't the only ones being hurt by the state's terrible drought. Illinois Horse Rescue in Will County says it's seeing an increased number of horses abandoned by their owners because the drought is causing the price of feed to skyrocket. In some cases, hay is being sold at triple the normal price. If you can donate hay or money to the rescue, go online to IllinoisHorseRescue.org for more information. On the Saturday Farm Show, we'll talk to Illinois High School Rodeo Queen, J.C. Littrell of Lincolnwood High School. She recently competed in the National High School Rodeo and Queen Contest in Wyoming. The Saturday Farm Show will be heard tomorrow morning at 6:15, tomorrow afternoon at 12:45 on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 864 and three quarter, down a quarter. December wheat trading at 878 and three quarter, down three quarter. September corn now trading at 788 and a half, down five and a half. December corn now trading at 790, down five and three quarter. August beans trading at 1646 and three quarter, down six and a quarter. September beans trading at 1615, down eight and a half. We'll update the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive.